Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik filling in for Mark Haney. Later in the show, we'll get a rundown on this season's holiday TV specials, and we'll hear how technology is being used to protect endangered species. Starting off this afternoon, settling an estate, sorting through a person's possessions, weighing their sentimental value with their monetary value. It can be very challenging, but a professional appraiser can provide an objective and unbiased opinion about the value of real property and eliminate much of the stress and uncertainty involved in distributing items from an estate. Joining us to discuss evaluating property for sale or donation, from jewelry to furniture to fine art and the process of settling an estate, are Bryson Estates founder and managing member Morgan Cobb, Bryson operations coordinator Joey Thomas, and partner with Taft, Stettinius & Hollister law firm Dan Hoffheimer. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. Email us talk@wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Glad to have you all here. Morgan, I'm going to start with you. Tell us, when should people really start thinking about this whole estate planning process?
During your lifetime, absolutely. It's when you are going through your items, oftentimes downsizing is a convenient time to think about how to manage your legacy, how to assign beneficiaries, what you'd like to go where. Is a pretty convenient time, but certainly planning is a better option than leaving it to someone else.
Do people always know what the value of their items are when they start this process? Or you know, I think of my mom and she goes, save that, that's really worth something. And, you know, sometimes it was a piece of junk or something else that you would never have thought of really is worth something. Morgan?
The answer is sometimes. Sometimes. It depends on the person. Some people follow the markets keenly and are, you know, just well abreast of values and trends and so forth, where others, especially if it's not their property, then that adds another layer of difficulty. Or if it's something they purchased a long time ago and it is there, they might not be aware of the current market.
Joey?
Yeah, it's a fluctuating market, so it's something where you could have bought something at one time and then years later that can always change. So that's part of where we come in is being able to help people manage that fluctuating and volatile market.
Dan, what do you suggest for people as they're beginning their estate planning? Where do they even begin?
Well, first of all, thanks for having us today.
Sure.
This is really a pleasure. Estate planning and planning for the passing of assets at death is a huge topic, and I think today we just want to stay focused on tangible personal property and the appraisal of that as opposed to real estate and financial assets, which could get into all kinds of other issues. And we won't really get into the tax aspects of this. But with respect to tangible personal property, I think it's interesting to note that in accordance with a recent study, people said that 15% of people said that planning for the passing of their personal assets was their biggest worry, whereas only 3% said the passing of their financial assets was their biggest worry. And I've been practicing law long enough to have, you know, hundreds of anecdotes, which I'm not going to go through, but you can imagine every sort of situation from the smoothest passing of assets of great value to fighting over the smallest things. But in terms of when people should start, you know, really people should start their planning early, and when they can, talk with the next generation, usually it's their children and grandchildren, maybe others if they're childless or whatever, to see what they want and then plan in accordance with that.
Do you think people are willing to jump in and say, I remember my grandmother trying to get my mom and her sisters to say, well, tell me what you'd like and, you know, we'll make sure that we get your name on it and you'll get it. And they didn't even want to think about their mom dying and had a hard time even doing that. How do you encourage people to start that conversation?
Well, it's difficult for most. Some can navigate that and others have a hard time. And we actually created a tool. It's called Stash. It's an online tool that kind of sterilizes the conversation, if you will. You know, we have all these screens in front of us, and the screens kind of remove us from a layer of sentimentality and an emotional attachment to things. And so we see this and we notice that when our clients look at their possessions on a screen, they can view them more objectively and they can view them as things. And then they can make I guess, a more rational decision. So instead of having that awkward conversation with grandma walking through a house, what do you want when I'm gone? And that uneasy feeling, we can organize an inventory for you, and you can shop it online, and it creates a more familiar, less emotional experience.
How does that all work, Joey? How do you set that up?
Yeah, so an estate can be, you know, a pretty overwhelming thing. There's a lot of stuff in it. Largely what we've done so far is go in after the estate is already being settled, and we come in at that point. And something that we're working on is the education part of helping people get set up before and being ready for that all to happen. Once the estate's being settled, we've began to establish a methodology where we can go in and help people sort, starting with what do you want to get rid of, what doesn't need to stay at all, what's trash, what's a Goodwill donation, and then... And what's very valuable. And starting from that point, based on the goals and the parameters that person has for their estate, we can help them sort, qualify the items, and start getting them identified into where they need to go.
But isn't it possible that you don't always know what's valuable? Morgan and I were talking at an event, which is how she's on the show today. We had a conversation, and you were talking about finding an old newspaper. Well, somebody might not necessarily think that was valuable. Tell us what you found.
Absolutely, and that was discovered during this sort and qualify part of our process, where we're just discovering items that the family is unfamiliar with, that they might otherwise throw out, that could be very, very interesting and valuable. And it was an original New York Times published on D-Day. So that was a newspaper that would have been in the rubbish pile otherwise. But we noticed it, we took note, and we made that apparent to the family. So,
and it ended up being somewhat valuable?
Somewhat. I believe it was a $400 to $600 item.
So that's certainly not worth throwing in the garbage because you thought it was just an old newspaper.
I don't like to throw away $400.
Well, I think a lot of people may not be aware. I mean, a lot of folks just save a lot of things, and it's hard to sort through to know what is valuable and what isn't.
And it's hard to sort through your own things and things that belong to your mother, father, someone close to you, because every time you pick something up, you think of a story. In a way, our possessions create this autobiography of ourselves. Just, you know, everything is attached to a memory, a travel story, an engagement or a proposal, or, you know, all of these life events we associate with objects. And if you're trying to clear a home or, you know, determine what you have for an asset inventory in probate, then it can be difficult and it can be slow going if you do it yourself. Whereas if someone who doesn't have those memories comes in and can help with that, then it's faster and it's more efficient, we find.
And I can say that Morgan and Joey's online system is really a state-of-the-art system of doing this, but you were asking the question of how do you plan to avoid disputes. It's one thing to somebody dies and now you've got to do an inventory for probate court, or there's going to be a tax return and you have to value things for estate tax purposes. That's kind of coming in late in the game. But one thing I've often recommended to clients is at least do an inventory as if you were doing a probate appraisal while you're still alive. You don't necessarily have to value them. You don't necessarily have to ask the appraiser to put a number by those things, but at least come up with a list. And then the parents, let's put it, could give that to their children and say, you know, I just want to plan ahead. Why don't you all look at this and tell me if there's anything on here you really want? And then if two of the five children both want the same thing, you can start to work those things out in advance, even before you put numbers on them. And then the next step might be, if the family wants to do that, is deciding, well, does the distribution really have to be equal among the children? What if one child gets $25,000 worth of tangibles, another one gets $27,000 worth of tangibles? Maybe you just call it even and not worry about it. If it is something that's of concern, you can equalize it with an offsetting distribution of cash.
Does that happen often? I mean, I imagine all families are different. All families are looking at it very differently. Do you find people are willing to work it out in that instance, or say, I don't care about that $2,000 difference, or do some people, you know, fight it nickel and dime?
Both ways.
Both ways. One of the things I note is you talked about sentimentality and how, of course, as an appraiser, you're removed from that. But there may be an item that is a big sentimental value to the family that's not worth a lot of money, but all five kids want it because that's the rolling pin grandma made all her pies with or whatever. How do you sort through that? How do you value or place a, you know, make the help, make that decision if someone's already gone? Obviously, if the parents are still alive, maybe you can help with that. But.
And so from the valuation perspective, we're assigning a fair market value to the object, and that value would then be used by an attorney like Dan to lead that kind of that discussion, or I think what can end up being mediation, involving the balance, or perhaps just looking to the will for guidance or the trust.
And that's where understanding the goals of whoever's, you know, is executing the trust or is an heir is really important, because there are a lot of things that might not have financial value but sentimentally are value, and you don't want that going to Goodwill. You don't want that going out. You want to keep that. So being in tune with that group of people and their wishes is super important as you're going through that process.
Do you ever advise people to go ahead and give away some of those things while they're still alive to avoid some of this hassle after they've died? Dan?
Well, sure. I think we always want our clients to consider whether they really want to hold on to these things, and particularly with people living longer, they get to a stage in life, and I think I'm getting there, where tangible things mean less to me than they used to. People go through cycles in their life. They go through a collecting phase, and then they go through a deaccessioning phase, and it's different with everybody. But yes, sure, if they have a child who wants it especially, or a niece or whatever who loves that pair of candlesticks, get rid of them. And if they're not that valuable, you don't have any gift tax concerns, and you should just give them away. Obviously, if they exceed the annual exclusion amount for gift tax purposes, there's some planning involved. But even there, it's doable. You just have to do some planning and make sure you aren't running afoul of the law.
What is that gift
now? It's now $14,000 per donor per donee. So a husband and wife could give $28,000 to any one person in a year, and no gift tax. Well, if it's a split gift, then a gift tax return would be required, but there's no gift tax, and it doesn't use up any of their lifetime exclusion.
So really, in a lot of cases, if you have some things that are worth a little less than that, if you can do it in advance, you just save a lot of hassle.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We're talking this afternoon about estate planning and really what to do with those things that aren't money or furniture, or not necessarily furniture, but a property, a home, those sorts of things. And we'd like to hear what you have to say as well. You can join our discussion at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. We're discussing how to determine the monetary value of real property in the process of settling an estate. My guests are Taft, Stettinius & Hollister attorney and partner Dan Hoffheimer, Bryson Estates founder and managing member Morgan Cobb, and Bryson Operations Coordinator Joey Thomas. You can call 513-419-7100 to join the conversation. Email us, talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And we're certainly happy to answer questions you may have about dealing with your own estate as you're setting things up. One of the things we haven't talked about is if you're giving things, and not necessarily to a family member or a close friend, but really to make a donation to an outside organization. Morgan, how do you plan for that?
So donating items, donating tangible property to charities can allow the donor to receive tax benefits regardless of the scale of the donation. I'm sure that most folks are familiar with donations to Goodwill, Salvation Army, St. Vincent de Paul, of general household items. You can take a very different approach when items are of interest to libraries, museums, historical societies, and we see this frequently, and most commonly, actually, with small liberal arts schools.
Now, is there any tax or anything they have to pay when they're donating those items when they're alive? Or is that just, does the recipient have to pay a tax on those?
When they donate the items, they receive a deduction that's equal to the fair market value of the item. And so anything believed to be valued in excess of $5,000, we can provide an appraisal for that. They can submit the appraisal for the item with their tax return. they get to feel that charity and goodwill of seeing their painting or their book collection in the favorite library or the favorite museum, and actually build their legacy, and also receive the tax deduction for the value of the item. So it's a very sound strategy for those who have those types of objects.
Dan? I would say that donating things at death is a lot easier than donating them during lifetime, because at death, under the general principle, the basis in the property is stepped up to the value on the date of death, and so it can then be valued by an appraiser like Morgan's firm, and the value of the deduction is going to be what it's valued at, and hopefully the IRS will accept that. Giving during your lifetime involves a host of other issues. And yes, sometimes you can deduct the fair market value and need to get an appraisal for it, but it can depend on a lot of factors, including what purpose is the recipient of the gift going to put that item. So, for example, a gift of a painting to an art museum that they're going to display, yes, you can get it appraised and donated for its full fair market value. On the other hand, if you're giving it to the Salvation Army for them to sell, to use the cash to feed the homeless, it's a totally different set of rules. So donors need to be careful about that.
As they are planning then and all of those sorts of things, so you're saying in many cases it's just better to give at death and just have a list ready to go?
No, I think again, I'm always in favor of, if people can afford it and they want to give sooner rather than later. They just have to be careful not to make a misstep, to get some advice and make sure they're doing it the right way and the way that maximizes the value to them, the value of the deduction. You'd hate to see a client, for example, give a very valuable painting in a year when they've already used up all their charitable deductions and they can't take advantage of it. Maybe they should go through a documenting process where they give a third of the painting to the art museum this year, and this would be pursuant to an agreement and a contract. They give a third of it in the second year and a third of it in the third year. That can all be done, but it requires some planning.
We're talking about all of this, and we're talking about art and maybe antique furniture or those sorts of things. Do you have to really have lots of valuables, really expensive items, in order to make it worth having an appraiser come in? I mean, what is the level of stuff that people have that makes it worth it to call an appraiser?
So there are two ways of looking at it, and there are kind of two types of clients we serve. Those who certainly have valuable property and want to insure it, include it in their estate plans, or they're involved in estate settlement proceedings, or those clients who are distributing property that may or may not have much value at all, but they didn't do the planning up front, and now there's lots of disagreement, perhaps even contention. So, there are two types of clients that come find us.
We got a call from Morgan in Forest Park, who actually an email says, people often forget about firearms. Do you have any suggestions about firearms?
Oh, goodness. The market for firearms is live and well. And actually, locally, Cowan's Auctions is one of the top firearms auction houses in the country, and I know one of their sales last year totaled over $4 million in firearms. So there's a very loyal following there, and oftentimes we find our clients are seeking to get those appraised for insurance purposes, and many times they are legacy objects, meaning they're heirlooms, and they've been passed down several generations in a family.
Our phone number is 513-419-7100. Scott's calling from Anderson. Hi, Scott. What's your question?
Hi, I've just, my wife and I guess unfortunately, have recently inherited some antique items, meaning over 100 years old, and definitely some vintage items. And we also have a pretty full basement, and so we are also downsizing. Anyway, I'm wondering if there are, I'm not sure what things might be worth. Is there any local resource where I can find out any appraisal services, and how much does that cost and such?
Call Morgan.
Well, can you give us?
I'll do that.
Can you give us a ballpark figure of what it does cost to have an appraiser? I mean, do you charge by the item? Do you charge as a whole? How does that work?
Sure. We just charge based on our time and energy involved. And so if it's very few items, then the cost is relative to that. And, if it's an entire estate, and we have cataloged thousands of objects in estates, the cost is relative to that too. And so we can always take a look at the scope of the project and provide a professional opinion, of course, and we do plenty of work locally.
And to that question and what you said earlier about when is it worth bringing in an appraiser, we offer a lot of different services that can be used without getting a valuation service. So if you had a basement of stuff, if you needed to distribute it for an estate, we can also inventory all of your items, identify them for you, and even provide a platform to distribute them without having to spend any money on valuation if you don't want to, if you don't feel you need it, if you have other options, et cetera.
Or can you just pick maybe a couple of items that you'd want appraisal
on? Absolutely, yes.
So you can sort of use whatever works best for you. Scott, does that answer your question?
It does. If I could take one more question, I'd like to ask, I guess the market has gotten incredibly soft since the Great Recession. But is it still true that a true antique, which means over 100 years old, is still something that holds value?
Do antiques hold value? And we have about 20 seconds left.
So, Scott, antiques is a very, very broad term. What's happened is that the market for some types of antiques is soft, while other types are trending. And we look at personal property as a collection of micro markets.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your call, Scott. We appreciate it. And we are out of time. I want to thank you all for being here. It's been lovely.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
We have lots of information on our website if people need more information. We've been talking with Bryson Estates founder and managing member Morgan Kopp, Bryson operations coordinator Joey Thomas, and partner with Taft, Stettinius & Hollister law firm, Dan Hoffheimer. In just a moment, John Kieswinter joins us for a look at this season's holiday television specials. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.